to be with you again. And I feel like being in the international church. Am I right? Do you know how many nationalities are representative here? How many? Any idea? 7 or 8. We would call back in Serbia international church. Yeah, good to be here because like I feel like Apostle Paul coming back to sending church, because each month we know that you are praying for us, not only month but during that month, but also we see check coming from your church, so we are very grateful for that. Because of your support sending behind us, we are there, so to speak, frontline workers. And coming back, we don't have time to report what is happening, but here and there we'll tell you something hopefully exciting. And hopefully you'll be encouraged leaving this place, motivating to do something more than what you are already doing, more for Christ. You see, we come here as Christian worshiping God, but we have our duty outside too. Big duty. We want people to find the Lord. They don't know that they need the Lord, but we know. So we need to introduce them to Jesus and introduce Jesus to them. And that's how things will go on and are going. Like last time we were here, it was not Sunday service. It was midweek services. Well, was the regular midweek services or no? It was just for us. Thank you very much. I wonder how many are seeing us first time. Wow, good to have you. Next time we come, you will probably in process of buying Holiday Inn. To expand so much. Yes. Well, before we say something more about what is happening there because of your support, because of your prayer, I would like us to consider words that we read in Matthew 14, 13 to 21. And I title this, "So Much with So Little." And soon you will see why I have the title, "So Much with So Little." So let me read. So Matthew 14, chapter, verses 13 to 21. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' Jesus said to them, 'They need not to go away. You give them something to eat.' They replied, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 basketful. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So this section is known as Jesus feeds 5,000. Oh, Jesus feeds more than 5,000, 5,000 men. So I'm guessing maybe 15,000 people, right? Wives and children. So lots of people. But what happened? We started reading by now when Jesus heard this. Jesus heard what? That John was killed. And he wanted to go to be by himself. And we read here, he went to be by himself. But Jesus was a magnet, huge magnet. Wherever he went, he just drew people to himself. And what happened? He couldn't just sit still. So they found him. So many people found him. And he just decided to help them. He couldn't help himself but not helping others. So he helped them. We see he cured them. He did all kinds of things, miracles here and there. So he was very active. And then, as the day was passing on, disciples got hungry. Why, how do I know the disciples got hungry? Because they came to Jesus and they found excuse. People are hungry. Send them away. So they said, send them away so that they buy something in the villages around, something to eat. And famous words, and this is the key, one of the keys of this passage, is that he said, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And I hope you will hear this until you leave. You give them something. So the key is in you. You give them something to eat. And when you look, what do I have? Not much. But the key is, well, it will progress. So they said, we have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them to me. So I can see them bringing 5 loaves, so 5 small bread. And two small fish. They brought it to Jesus. And this is what happens. So Jesus is holding them. He lifts up them up and give thanks to God. Still, nothing is changing. And he said, those thousands of people to get into groups of probably hundreds or so. And still nothing is happening, but he gives all that, what was given to him, gives to disciples. And still nothing is happening. But disciples are giving these things, what Jesus gave to them, to individuals. And that's when it starts to multiply. So original 5 loaves, 2 fish became food for thousands of people. So logically, was it enough to feed five loaves and 2 fish? Was it enough to feed so many people? No, logically not. But they gave it to Jesus and Jesus multiplied. But they gave it a seed. Seed is so important if you want to have a harvest. Without putting seed where it's supposed to be, you cannot expect the harvest. So here they are. They gave the seed that they have 5 loaves, that they have 2 fish, gave it to Jesus, and beautiful things happen. Isn't it beautiful? But the thing is, you have to give to Jesus. Whatever you have to give to Jesus. And Jesus takes that and multiplies. And beautiful things are happening. We have endless stories of this principle. Really endless. And you have too, I'm sure. If you will have a microphone, you will be speaking about some things that happen because of your small faith when you approach somebody. But I have a microphone, so I'll be speaking later on, Vera. I remember very well when we came to Serbia from this beautiful country of Canada. We went there and we started to look for needs of people so that we can tell them Jesus can fulfill this need. And one after another were coming to our house because we invited them. They were coming to our house and we made sure that we introduced them to Christ because they had a need and we had something to give them. But I remember later on when the church started in our living room. But by the way, we have a book here that tells many things that happen, all kinds of miracles. So you are welcome to help yourself. It's free of charge, but if you can contribute, if you want to contribute towards publishing it, you are welcome. And so something we learned while we were in Canada, that people do not carry cash. So somebody gave us an idea, print a email address for e-transfer. So it is there. But you are not obligated, but help yourself with the book. And also, there's a piece of paper. If you want to get our updates more regularly, you are welcome to sign your email there. We'll be happy to do that. Anyways, to come back, church started in our living room. And we were multiplying ourselves. Actually, God did, but we led people to him. But then, I remember very well, we heard that refugees are coming to our city and our country. And we didn't know who is a refugee. We just knew that some people had to leave their places where they lived, where they were born and lived. And suddenly, because of something, they had to leave that place. And I remember we went to see a couple, this family that we heard that came from Croatia and another country, refugees, and we were surprised to see older couple with son and grandson. Where is the mother of grandson? Well, she stayed home. She stayed in Croatia because she's Croatian and these are Serbs that they had to flee. And they came without nothing. They were our neighbors. So what we did, we went home. I remember well. We went home. We took whatever we had, sugar, flour, things like that, necessities. Our children, they came to see this boy too. So they came with us home and they picked up some toys for him to play with because he didn't have toys. So started with really nothing, and then we brought to them and we seen joy that somebody cares, that was us. But then somebody called us from Canada and said, can you use some funds? And we said, yes, of course. So they sent us some funds and we were able to purchase 12 parcels, like food for 12 families a month. So it was small, but it was big for us. So we visited these families, 12 families a month. And we thought it was a big deal. But we visited them and we made sure that they understand why we are doing this, because of Jesus. And we wanted to bring Jesus into their lives. You see, humanitarian aid, food, can last very, very little, not much, week, 2 weeks or so. But we wanted to help whole person. So that's why we talk about Jesus. And here and there, we had success. Some people came to Christ. But I'm telling you this because we started from nothing, really. That in 12 parcels a month. And then somebody came from Canada and America and they say, can you use more help? I said, yes, 3,000 parcels a month. Do you know how many is that? We had lots of people employed, lots of couples going and distributing this help. And there is no person in Novi Sad city let's say 400,000, right? Close to 500,000 people. that they didn't hear about us and about God because of this help. So we became one of the bigger organizations, humanitarian organization in the city. But it started from nothing, from small, very, very small. But speaking on that note, I remember last plane coming from Sarajevo. That's Bosnia and Herzegovina. That's another country now. It used to be Yugoslavia, one country, but they separated, split, mostly by war. So here they are, last flight from Sarajevo to Belgrade, Serbia. And I didn't pay much attention. It just I thought, well, these people are very lucky that they were able to use last airplane to come to freedom to Serbia. But as it was our custom to visit refugees when they came to our city, we ended up visiting this mother and twin brothers. What happened? Her husband was in army, so had to stay in Bosnia, couldn't leave Bosnia. But she was able to fly because she's originally from our place, from our city. She came with twin brothers, and we brought humanitarian aid, and she was so delighted. Somebody gave her this room to stay for a short while. So we gave her this food, and also we gave her New Testament, and gave three actually for the children too. And we told her and told them about Jesus, how he changed our lives, how he, well, you see, suddenly they are listening because we gave them something. We brought them something. They want to listen why we are doing this. On next occasion, maybe 2-3 weeks later, we went back again. And I was kind of surprised. But mother said, I don't know what's wrong with my son, this older son, Dario. He just keeps reading this New Testament nonstop. He is actually forgetting about his school. And I thought, wow, wonderful. He's reading New Testament. Something will be. And you know, very soon that they started to attend our youth meetings, twins. And very soon became Christian. And very soon Dario will come soon. There he is. This is not when he was 12. This is much older. Dario became a youth leader in our church. And Dario became a worship leader. And he's a very anointed worship leader. He writes songs. He's invited in many places to lead the worship, but also give a concert. And praising God, see, he is Muslim background. But now he found Jesus, and he's so excited. And I'm telling you this because it started from nothing. I hope you see that whatever you have is just a seed that if you give to God, he will multiply it, and he will use you in reaching others. Christ. Would you like to come?
We were in Sarajevo, which is in Bosnia, where he is from, just a few months ago, at the gathering where 200 ex-drug addicts were sitting. You have never heard anything like it. The worship and the enthusiasm, these are the people that were almost dead, now alive, and they're singing one of the Dario songs. And by the way, Dario is now a pastor of a church in our city. So how could we ever dream what's going to happen? But we're singing in the Sarajevo, where he's from, where he had to flee because of the war, with all these ex-drug addicts, and we're singing one of the songs that he wrote. So I'm texting Dario as I'm sitting in your city, and we're all singing your song. Can we ever imagine what God can do with somebody that we dare to invest a little bit of time? We never know what the next step is and what will happen. I texted last night a girl that I led to the Lord when she was 17 years old, looking for God in the middle of her trouble, in the middle of her disillusionment, as Pastor Rams prayed this morning, and I listened. If somebody is in distress and disillusionment, Jesus is hope. So I brought this hope to this girl years ago, only to congratulate her yesterday. She got a doctorate in the theology. Like, if we could only fast forward, it would have been easier for us to serve, to have the coffee with somebody, to give something that they need, to show compassion. But to us, we're looking at people, at the neighbor, somebody when comes to church, they look okay. They're going to be fine. You never know. You never know the ripple effect. That's why the book is called The Ripple Effect of Our Investment in People. When we made our first step, the scariest step in my life, to take two little kids, to sell the home, leave Canada, and go there, not knowing anything, nobody, if somebody told me, listen, in 30-some years, there's going to be one church, another church, there's going to be many missionaries, there's going to be people pastoring the churches, there would be no problem, I'll go through anything because I know it's going to happen. We have no guaranteed, right? I guess the disciples, if Jesus would have made a mountain of bread, mountain of fish, and said, here you guys, you got muscles, you got goodwill, look at all these hungry people, go feed them. But there was nothing to be seen. As you go, as you make that scary step, and you're sitting here today, and some things are going through your mind, what can I do for God? And you're thinking, now that's impossible because I don't have what it takes. Listen, I didn't have what it takes. I still don't have what it takes. But as I go, I serve in weakness and in brokenness, and the Lord keeps showing up. We have now a church of over 300 people with the building huge and big and paid for, and the number of other churches, and we have 7 pastors that came out of the church. We have 2 sites for the rehab center. None of that was shown ahead of time. We want to see the preview. There is no preview. But the Lord promises there is no better investment than in people. And you just never know what that one Dario will turn into be. There was absolutely no, 70,000 refugees in our city, and we are making one parcel. Like, how big is that? Nothing impressive. It's so small. And then we felt so good doing 12. That's like a drop in the bucket. I feel often like emptying an ocean with a little cup. Does this even make a difference for anybody? But it makes difference because the Lord does what we cannot imagine. From the little number of disciples, there is now church today. You are sitting here because of few people that decided to follow Christ. So amazing stories, and there is no time to tell. But I will continue along the same line, saying how amazingly God did something for me. I remember going to the orphanage. We have an orphanage in our village where we live. And our children go to school with some of the orphan kids. These are the kids that have been neglected by their parents. And the state takes over and looks after as best as they can. So I had a connection with that place and many times wondered, what can I do? Everything I thought of doing, because we have 4 children of our own, with 168 kids, how can I give them gifts for Christmas? Like anything that I thought it would be smaller than 2 fish. But I felt one year, I said to Danny, I'm going to make little gifts for each one of them. And I remember down in the basement, we had a ping pong table. I divided it. Here is going to be girls. Here is boys. I bought lots of those lunch bags, the little brown lunch bags. I says, I'm going to fill it, and I'm going to just put a sign, girl, boy, girl, boy. And I went shopping, and every time I went shopping, I'm thinking, is that even exciting? Like, what do you put in a little package like that? And yet it cost money and time. And will it even matter? So made those boxes, and my heart was full. The Lord was pleased with my little move. And I had great joy distributing these. And after Christmas, a few months later, we received a call from a guy in England saying, by the way, I got your number from so-and-so. Could you use some children's gift shoeboxes? Oh, we thought, wow, could we use some shoeboxes? Well, yes, this is a gentleman that actually originated the shoeboxes that you are familiar with. You make them. They've been around now for a number of years. Operation Christmas Charge Samaritan's Purse Shoeboxes. But let's go backward. When this guy at his home with his four children visited the orphanage in Romania, they came with a little van. But the vision was born. And then he says, and I heard about you. Can you guys, because we were in the war, could you use some boxes? So we were the second country to receive, after Romania, the shoeboxes. And they came with a big van. And my orphanage children were able to receive those amazing boxes that are talk of the town even today. Some of the kids that received boxes are lawyers, teachers, and they could buy anything, but they says, I'll never forget the shoebox. Because in those days, in that time, it was precious. So can we use some shoeboxes? This is what the Lord does. We had a shoebox for every kid in the orphanage, and it went on for years. From one box, a van full. From the van full, we were distributing 200,000 shoeboxes in our country. That's 20 of the largest big trucks that come that you cannot imagine. And by the way, from the man and his four children that had a dream what they can do, 15, 16 million boxes around the world. Do not underestimate your little desire to do something for the broken. Because you will feel, what difference does it make? The Lord is watching. Remember the lady that came to the tabernacle, and Jesus says, look, she gave the most. She gave a fraction of the penny. The Lord saw, and the Lord multiplied. And I remember going every year, we went there to give shoeboxes, not just to the orphanage, but every child in Novi Sad and Serbia by now has received a box. And the ripple effect of that, no time to tell. But I remember a few years after we started the shoeboxes, as I was driving away from the orphanage, the Lord clearly put in my heart, you can do something more with that orphanage. And I said, Lord, there's too many of them. You know, like disciples would have said, look at the thousands of people. What can I do? I don't have much. And the Lord just put on my heart, how about one? How about one? But then I'm going, how am I going to pick? Which one? So these are the moments when you just obey. There's no guarantee. I went back. They're divided in little different homes. And I knew the one to go to. And I was just there observing. We could go in and go out whenever we wanted because the people that run the place were very good to us because we were good to them. They said, you can go anytime, visit whoever you want, you know, have anybody that you want, come to your house. Nobody else had that privilege. So I knew I could do something. Invest time. Tell somebody about Jesus in that place. So in that home was about 14 children. Some little ones, very cute. I thought that would be cute. I can give them candies every now and then. That would be my service. But no, there was a girl sitting in the corner with her head down, around the same age as Dario was, 12. She already was in the hospital a couple of times because she wanted to cut her veins. These children are wondering, why am I left here? My parents are living, I'm not wanted, and they struggle with identity. Will anybody pay attention even if I try to kill myself? So that's the story of Ivana that I went back and befriended at the orphanage. I think she's there on the floor. The next thing I did is I asked her, would you like to come to my house? I to tell you the truth, I didn't feel that I can relate to her story, but I had my broken past. I had some things that happened to me as a child that I never shared. And I knew that the Lord, it made no sense to me. For years I struggled. How can anybody live with the abuse of sexual abuse and understand? I had actually a hard time. Where was God when this happened to me? But the day came when I invited Ivana over to our house. And as we were sitting, you know, I was nervous. Like, maybe you're nervous. What are you going to do when somebody, you want to talk to somebody about Jesus? Listen, all we can do is show up and present him. We carry the presence of God with us. We carry something that people don't have. So, and he prepares the way. He multiplies. He feeds. He protects the wounds. He brings the healing. And as she came into my living room, you know, I said to Danny before that, what do I do? And we talked about, I'm just going to give her Jesus. It was first step for me to work with children like this. So in the living room, I shared my story about my abuse, about my life and difficulties. And she opened up. That's actually her story. That's why she wanted to end her life. And now, fast forward. I knew the Lord had a hand on Ivana. But it wasn't an easy road. Sometimes we think, well, if everything goes well, I'll just continue serving. But the Lord says, you just stay with it. It's not mine to heal her heart. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. But I can assist. I can be there. I can bring the presence of peace and hope. Because I said to her, look at me. I am married. I do have children. There is hope for you. And fast forward today, Ivana is a very good mother. She has two boys, and it wasn't easy. We went through a rough time. She wanted to give up so many times. I find myself so many times, listen, I don't have much more patience. Like, I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. I can't fix your life. But everything in me said, do not give up on her. If you give up on her, that's going to be double trouble. So besides four of our children, we took care of her. I took care of her. We gave her a wedding to a guy who came to the Lord at the Alpha program in our church, accepted Christ. And then God gave them two beautiful boys. So we were like parents and continue to be so in this family. But it was very interesting. The young boy was playing, one of her sons is playing guitar. And I says, I didn't know you play guitar. He says, I've been taking lessons. I says, well, where are you taking lessons? Guess who gives him lessons? Dario. Like, you just don't know. I'm going, can that possibly be? And Ivana is now working for an organization that also started from us because I led to the Lord, the lady that started this 20 years ago. Pro-life, speaking against abortion, speaking, not just speaking against abortion, providing a place where they can be if they choose not to, providing message of hope of Christ. She's the one that answers phone. She's the one that goes and talks to these mothers because she says, I understand. I did not know any of this when I was making those parcels on my ping pong table. I had no idea that the Lord could use my past. I had no idea that God recycles all of our brokenness the best that we can ever imagine. She is now on the worship team in the church. She testifies what God can do. And she has great compassion for the brokenhearted women. I know. We wish sometimes we can peek ahead. But you know, you are here today because somebody told you. Somebody paid attention. Somebody still believes in you. And God needs all of us to be that person in somebody's life. And we may think, well, there is no need here in Canada. People have everything. You have never seen more depressed youth, more depressed people, disillusioned everywhere. We live in a days where people have everything but hope and peace and purpose. It's getting worse and worse, but we have. But we often choose not to notice. We think everybody is fine. They look okay. Hi, how are you? We come to church. We leave. Everything's fine. But pray that the Lord will show you who in here, who outside of here, who at your work, who at your school, wherever you are, maybe needs somebody to notice. Because it's not, hi, how are you? But I have seen you. I've been thinking of you. Not just we should get together sometimes because that never happens. But how about sometime? You pick a time. I'd like to have a coffee with you. Gift of time, gift of compassion, gift of even noticing. People are glued to their phone. Friends are many, but there are none around eye to eye, right? That we would notice. So whatever you hear from us today, you're going to forget about Serbia and place somewhere far away. I'm bringing it home to you. Your best investment is in people. I had dental lab. I could make money. Here, Danny had the business. We chose to leave all that. Not because it wasn't good. It was very good. But you know what? People will soon forget my teeth. They will soon forget the clock. But they will never forget you. Because you paid attention. But not only that. If we really believe that God is the only way, that heaven really is forever, and so is hell, we would do something about it. And those investments are that stay. At my age, when I look at the rear view of my life, I see people. I see people, and it gives me great joy. And if changed people doesn't move you, if desire to help them doesn't move you, you gotta check your pulse. Are you living? Are you really aware? Somebody said the other day, so and so, you know, they split. That church doesn't believe in hell anymore. And it's true. We know a person that left our church doesn't preach of hell anymore. But then you know what? I was thinking, aren't we acting the same when we meet people that are going there and we say nothing? We choose to just say nothing. We're not responsible for the whole world. Neither are you. But we carry a responsibility for people that come our way, that the Lord brings our way. So, number of things have been going on, as you know. Right now, there's churches and that. But last 18 years or so, we were moved by serving the less fortunate people in society, and that is drug addicts. I must say that they a little bit are different than what you would meet here. When I say drug addicts, you're probably picturing people downtown on the road, and you're feeling overwhelmed. That's not something you could cope with. And I can appreciate that. Our drug addicts that came knocking at our door of the church, one after another, for about a year went by. We had to turn so many away because we didn't do the drug addicts. They didn't look like a drug addicts, but they were hooked. Heroin, cocaine, alcohol, functioning. Some of them were working, and yet they were sinking deeper and deeper and looking for help. I remember the night when the two of us sat in the bedroom, we couldn't sleep. And the verse that Danny shared today, don't send them away, you give them something to eat, came clear. Do not send a next one away, because you have something to offer. Listen, we had no idea what to do. We have no education about drug addiction. We are not psychiatrists, psychologists, but we have a place where we can take them. We have message of hope, and we have love of Christ. And that's about all we had. And we said, if this is going to happen, let the Lord lead. Let the next one come in. Let there be somebody that's going to be willing to be there 24 hours. Let me have a program, equip us. And very quickly, the Lord did all that. So in 18 years that we've been doing this, year by year, miraculously, nobody pays to come and stay. Over 800 men went through the program. Not just the in and out. Program is 18 months. Any given time, this is the number, the picture that was just there. Any given time, we have between 15, 20, and now we have close to 30 men in the center. We also had the women's center. But just to quickly tell you how God has been working in these people's life. So when we make that one step, the scary step, I'm going to do this, but I don't know how. We were then afraid. We're sitting at home in the same room thinking, what if somebody overdoses? What if the family sues us? We're in the country where we're a minority, we're a sect, we're in a cult. They can just look for opportunity to nail us, jail us, anything they want. There were so many reasons why not to. But Jesus said, you follow the lead. And we did. And we followed the lead, and I'm almost finished. So any given time, so many people. How did we manage to feed, clothe, keep on going? Listen, the Lord provided, keeps providing, and we're never out of things that we need to give them. But what happens? People are coming to Christ. We had a vision years ago that our church will be a fountain in the dry land of our country. Didn't know what it was going to look like. And the Lord is doing that. He's using ex-drug addicts in the ministry. He's using refugees to be pastors. And now we have, talk about each one has a story. And there's many, many setbacks. Not everybody stays for so many months. But many go, come back. But we never know. Met a guy just recently that was 5 years ago in our center, only stayed for 3 months. And we thought, well, nothing from him. We were in a particular church where he stood up and testified. After I was with you, in a totally different church, had nothing to do with us. I didn't even remember his face. He said, if it wasn't for you and your center, I wouldn't be here today. I was in jail. I left my wife. Here we are. I'm serving today. There is my wife in the back with the children. See, we all want to see the guarantee. But the Lord says, I'm your guarantee. This is a few weeks ago. We wrote it in an update. Very moving moment. You live for the moments like this. To see 6 men baptized in the church. Behind there, there's people from the church. That's the facility of the church. 6 men and one with his wife. That I was able to influence a lot for Christ while her husband was in the program. And listen, none of these guys just showed up, drug addicts, and everything was smooth and wonderful, and here they are. So many setbacks, so many talks, so many, do I even bother? But they were baptized, and they're following Christ. Those are the moments that keep you going. You do not stop. You are part of all of these stories. When you pray, when you give, you are part of us. We could not do any of this. The next picture is the last picture. One of the guys from the 6 men, he was just so excited. When he came to the center, we thought, we often talk, this guy is not quite all right. I think he's mentally not well. And I even told him this. Remember when you came, we thought you were mentally not all right. He says, I know. He now is true follower of Christ. He's actually going to the States next few months on a course, How to Make Disciples. He's been recognized. He's perfect English. He's a follower of Christ. That all he wants to do, wherever the Lord leads. Wherever the Lord leads. Miracle. But the miracle behind him is the guy in the black t-shirt. He came 5 years ago to the center. He had only a few exams to be a lawyer, but he knew very well he's sinking in addiction so deep he won't be alive to finish them. His mother didn't want to see him for like 4 years. Didn't believe that it's possible. Your own mother doesn't believe it's possible to change that much. So here he is, married, expecting another child. The mother babysits now a little girl, waiting for a little boy. On the 8th of October is a cesarean session for the second baby. He runs the center now. And he is baptizing these guys. See, these are the moments we all live for. We want to have a fast forward. So you're going through trouble, pain, illness, divorce. Listen, we have them all in the family and around. But I choose to believe I'm going to continue serving because I have no idea what God's going to do with this experience. God's going to use your life. He wants to use your life in Windsor. You are so many more than we were here last time. But as Danny said, I believe there's so many more. My sisters and brothers, look for opportunity, that one opportunity where you can present Christ. And all you need is him inside here. And open your mouth when you can. Let's throw the seeds in the heart of those that we meet. When the seed is there, there is possibility for growth. When there's no seed, how will it grow? The Lord will water, the Lord will add, and may God bless you as you take the scary step in faith and obey.